Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we consumed? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia.
Yeah.
Solar-topia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia all over God's green world.
Well, we multiplied. We needed more.
Yeah, we multiplied. We needed more. And we burned all that stuff. That's Pete Seeger, the great Pete Seeger. God, we miss Pete Seeger singing the Solartopia song with the wonderful David Burns, who wrote the lyrics, and Dar Williams, the fabulous Dar Williams. My great honor to be a part of that. That was on the Grammy Award winning album Tomorrow's Children by the Rivertown Kids from Appleseed Records. We are back for another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We have two great guests for with us. Both of them have been on the show. Bob Fetrakis, my co-conspirator on 6 books on election protection, and we have an article out there right now sailing around the internet about the 2014 stolen election, how the GOP bought, rigged, stole, and lynched the 2014 election. Bob, you with us?
I'm here, Harvey.
Okay, and Greg Palast, the great best-selling, high-profile, in-your-face, irreplaceable Greg Palast, also to talk about the 2014 election. But Greg, you're with us.
I am with you.
Okay, so we got Bob and Greg, two of the super heavy hitters here on the election protection issue. We have a whole hour to lay this out for a distraught, depressed, and disenfranchised American public. This, if ever there has been a travesty of an election, it's this one. A total, incredible mess. Jim Crow back in town. Millions of people disenfranchised. The Democratic Party saying absolutely nothing. The U.S. Senate being taken over by a bunch of corporate lunatics. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about the obvious vote fraud, the complete rape and pillage of our electoral system, leading up, of course, to 2016, where it seems to me that the advent of a Republican president, as if it matters, is all but inevitable. Greg, you did the pioneering work on what broke in 2000. This is your 14th year on the election protection case, at least dating back to then, the theft of the 2000 election by George W. Bush and company. Bob Fetrakis, you were an election observer in El Salvador, and you also wrote about the 2000 election. I was asleep at the switch at the time. But nonetheless, Greg, give us the rundown. How does this abomination of an election that we just watched compare to what you saw in 2000?
Well, it's like Catherine Harris has multiplied like bunnies, like mad bunnies with too much makeup.
Is it like that scene in The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Walt Disney where Mickey Mouse chops up the broom that's carrying the water, and then there's 1,000 brooms? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and so a lot of witchery here. For those who don't know Greg Palast, well, first of all, I did a new investigation for my new home, Al Jazeera America, which was patient enough to let me do a 6-month investigation of a whole new a whole new voting scam. This is a wonderful thing called Interstate Cross-Check. And what Interstate Cross-Check does is it finds, it hunts down people who are voting twice in two states. In other words, you vote in one state and another state in the same election. And apparently, there are bazillions of these people out there, and they should all go to jail because it's a, as Bob Petrakis, who, by the way, is a professor of law, can tell you, you get 5 years in the federal pokey for voting twice. So how many felonious double voters are there? Well, according to CrossCheck's big promoter, a guy named Dick Morris.
Oh, God, the abominable Dick Morris. Now, wait, now that, when you say felonious, you're not referring to the great jazz musician Thelonious Monk. I mean, he was one felonious voter.
Yeah, right. No, you got to list to get it correctly. Okay. Anyway, so Dick Morris got on Fox TV. Let's see if I can do Dick Morris correctly. Dick Morris said, "Cross-Check has provided the evidence that 1 million people, 1 million Democrats, have voted twice. That's how Obama got elected, through massive voter fraud, 1 million people voting twice. This is a hard evidence that they're voting twice." Did I get Morris correctly there?
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Okay,
well,
good.
It's the sound of someone talking with their head up there behind, so that's good.
Yeah.
No, Harvey, it's with a toe in their mouth.
Yes.
Okay, or a silver spoon, for God's sake.
So what's happened is this system called Interstate Cross-Check is a list which is started by the Republican Secretary of State, Chris Kobach, the Catherine Harris Secretary. And Kobach has computers which are matching people. They're supposed to match Social Security and birth date and all kinds of stuff to make sure that they've got to, you know, that when they got two names that they are the exact same person. However, Al Jazeera, after months of trying to get these lists, finally got our hands on 2 million of the 7 million people who are tagged as double voters. And now, according to Dick Morris, according to Kobach, there are 3.5 million people voting twice. In fact, when we got the list, it was simply people like John Jackson, Jesse Jackson, David Lee, Samuel Chung, basically common names in America. The absolute only match of people is having the same first name and the same last name. So all it was a bunch of common names. And if anyone wants to see if they're on the Cross-Check hit list of felon double voters, just go to either gregpalace.com and we'll link you through, or go to Al Jazeera America, Greg Palace, and in the story Jim Crow Returns, halfway down there's a box. Put your name in, your first name and your last name. If you're something like Joe Smith, Joe Black, Joe White, you're on the list. You're a criminal. And though what people really, the real crime is that people simply have common names. But here's the trick, Harvey, is that in the U.S. Census identifies the ethnic division of every surname in America. And if you are a minority, that is Asian American, African American, or Hispanic, the chance that you will have a common last name is 80% higher than if you are white. So, for example, there's not a lot of Robert Fetrakis's in the United States, but there are an awful lot of Joseph Browns. In fact, there are 80,020 John Jacksons in the United States. It is not one person voting 86,020 times. It is rather 86,000 people with a common name, most of them African-American.
How many of the John Jacksons in the United States would the Republican Party figure are black and therefore need to be eliminated from the voter rolls?
And therefore, right, well, that's the thing. They know these numbers. I've been asked, well, was this deliberate? I said, these are people in the list-making business. They know exactly who they're talking to. You are talking about people like Karl Rove. This is out of Wichita, Kansas, which is, by the way, not incidentally, the international headquarters of Koch Industries, and which has created, the Koch brothers have created something called the Themis database. So they know exactly, so they understand who's what in any database.
When so they can eliminate who they want to by ethnic group, and therefore by the suspected of voting Democratic surname.
Yes, and so what's happened is, for example, here's an interesting fact for your next cocktail party. 17% of all Asian Americans, almost a fifth of all Asian Americans, share just 30 last names. Chung, Nguyen, Lee, Ho, Park. You know, basically, if you know Korean...
Schwartz, Goldstein.
Yeah, yes, also, well, and we know that those are guilty of voting... of voting Democratic. And so what's happened is that you have, they know that the ethnic voting groups that go Democratic, and by the way, most, you know, I think most people know that African Americans vote about 91% Democratic. What most people don't know is that Asian Americans vote 73% Democratic. And so when you knock out everyone named David Lee, and there are about 64% Asian American, you're knocking out Democrats. They know it, and that's how they're doing it. But because it has this ugly ethnic racial twist, it adds, it's not only smells of partisanship, it has that kind of burning cross aroma in the cross-check list. In fact, I was almost thinking of calling my article Burning Cross-Check. It is.
I like that. Yeah. Greg, you are the master of the pun. One of you guys has a cell. I think it's causing a little background noise, but see if we can minimize
Bob?
That.
Yeah, Bob, stop rubbing your cell phone across your vest there.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Bob,
actually,
you were in
El
Salvador.
Yeah.
You were in El Salvador in, 1980? Compare, if you would.
1994. After 94. The Civil War, I went in for the first ever election.
And compare the level of dishonesty and voter fraud, vote fraud, the kind of thing that Greg is talking about here, with what you saw in El Salvador in 94. Who had the more democratic election?
Clearly they did in El Salvador. If the massive voter repression, which has been documented by Greg Palast, and I went down to look at the dupe list here in Franklin County, and they were under heavy pressure from the Secretary of State to, get rid of these people in 30 days. If you would have had massive repression of the FMLN, the guerrillas, the way the Republicans repress ethnic minority and poor people here, I would have been caught in another civil war. I would have been caught in a combat situation. Yeah, if you had that type of blatant repression against one of the political parties.
Well, it's pretty amazing. And now, Greg, based on, of course, Bob is totally the expert on what's happened in Ohio, and we're going to get to that because Ohio will once again, of course, be critical in the presidential election in 1994. And I would like to go. Well, I wonder what the Vegas odds right now are on the Republicans. I'd like to put down a lot of money on the Republicans for the presidency in 2016. I think it's a done deal, basically. But Greg, based on cross-check, which you've been discussing, which was in 28 states, is that correct?
28 states. Well, I was going to say, and 24 of them were Republican, but as of the last Tuesday, one became Republican. One of the so-called Democratic states became Republican, Illinois.
Which one was that?
Illinois. See, and I found out from from Republican legal expert, a former prosecutor there, who told me, because he read my article, and he's Republican, but he was absolutely horrified and stunned at this type of game, and when he found out that it was happening in Illinois, which interestingly had a Democratic elections officials. But one thing I do know from living 9 years in Illinois, in fact, I lived in Barack Obama's state Senate district, I can tell you this, is that all election, as you know, all politics is local, all election theft is local, and in Chicago, Rahm Emanuel and the old machine really does not want a lot of minority voters in Chicago. They're happy. They don't care who ends up as president or even as governor as long as the machine controls Chicago, and that means suppressing the minority vote. And so you might even have a Democratic state like Illinois, but you will see still massive repression of the minority vote because that serves the interests of that faction of the Democratic Party.
Well, in Illinois, they had an incumbent Democratic governor. I guess he lost, right?
Yes, he did. But again, that didn't matter to the machine Democrats who were happy to use cross-check for their own political purposes. And I've seen this elsewhere. A lot of the vote repression in New Mexico of Hispanic Democrats was done by Hispanic Democrats. Secretary of State, in fact, ended up going to prison. You have to say it's not just, while it's in this case, at the national level, it's going to, and at the senatorial and gubernatorial level, the cross-check is a blunt instrument to wipe out minority voters in half the states of America. But it is not, unfortunately, the exclusive domain of Republicans, but in almost all cases right now, that's where it's at. And if, by the way, from our calculation, there's no question. I was down in Raleigh, North Carolina, for Al Jazeera America Television. If you want to see those reports, again, go to gregpalace.com. You can link through for Al Jazeera America Television. And there was zero question. If you look at the cross-check list, you have to understand how huge they were. You're talking about nearly 500,000 people in a single state tagged as double voters. 1 in 7 black voters. 1 in 7 black voters is tagged as committing the felony crime of voting twice. I mean, it's just stunning. And by the way, I spoke with, and that's how I want to, the punchline there is that Tom Tillis, the Republican, won a surprise victory over the incumbent Democrat, Kay Hagan. It wasn't a surprise to me because I saw how many votes were going to be flushed out by cross-check and similar vote suppression games in North Carolina. So I wasn't surprised. Maybe the public was surprised. Maybe the pundits were surprised. But I wasn't surprised once you figured in this new type of, this very sophisticated type of vote heist. In fact, I agree with our colleague Brad Friedman. Nate Silver just wrote an article, the guru of political statistics. Nate Silver said the polls going into the election all had a 4% Democratic bias, that the polls have been consistently over the years showing that the votes are going to come out 4% more Democratic than they do in the vote count. What Nate Silver doesn't do is question the vote count. He says it must be an error in the polls. And these are people who live and die by their poll numbers, you know, like himself.
Yeah, you know, it's mind-boggling. Greg Powell, yeah. Bob Fitrakis. We cannot, it seems like if you criticize or even raise the issue of a vote theft or election fraud in this country with either party or with the corporate media or even with Daily Coast, for God's sakes, which has blacklisted both Bob and me for writing about this, they go nuts. Bob, Greg was talking about the Democrats having an interest in disenfranchising minority voters. We had that experience here in Columbus with a minority leader of the Democratic Party. What was his name? Anthony something?
Oh, Bill Anthony.
Bill Anthony. The Democrats had in Franklin County, Ohio, where Columbus is, the capital of the state, the head of the local Democratic Party was an African American. Tell us about him, Bob.
Well, the interesting thing about Bill was that Bill actually leaked us the list of the missing voting machines in the black neighborhood, and then turned around and said it didn't happen publicly. And there's a variety of things that happened in this state, similar to what Greg's been talking about. for example, in Cleveland, the white suburban Democrats who like to control the county, which is often very, very corrupt, there was the purging of 24.96% of all of the voters in Cleveland between the 2000 and 2004 election. And what people other than Greg and a few others refuse to talk about is that the electronic poll books in Ohio are now done by Triad, who Greg knows are friends of Bush from Florida, where they're most famous for their sister subsidiary company doing the butterfly ballot. So the people who maintain the electronic poll books in Ohio are a right-to-life family, the Rapps, who own a company called Triad. So they're some of the most partisan right-to-lifer pro-Republicans in the world. So when people show up in these urban areas and suddenly every 10th or 15th Democrat is gone, nobody really says anything. But from my perspective, it's happening intentionally. There's a reason why Triad has been hired in all of these counties, most all except some of the major counties, to essentially maintain poll books. And then when you get kicked off, you vote provisionally, and then you end up with a 17% reduction when they don't count the provisionals. So, you know, Silver is absolutely wrong. They're polling correctly from people who know they're registered and expect to vote, and they're being disenfranchised during election day, and it is deliberate.
Well, Greg Palast, that's a serious charge coming from a guy with a PhD in political science and a J. What is that law of degree anyway? JD or something?
JD.
Yeah, there you go. So a juvenile delinquent. So, Greg, let's do the numbers from CrossCheck for us and tell us, if you can, what the U.S. Senate races would have looked like if the Republicans had not successfully purged God knows how many minority voters.
Oh, let's see. Let me give you some scary numbers here. Let me just look them up very quickly from my articles. North Carolina, for example, Kay Hagan lost by only 48,000 votes, but there were 589,393 North Carolinians tagged as double voters. Over
oh
half
God.
A million. Okay? I mean, you have to understand how huge this is. In Colorado, right, Udall was, Senator Mark Udall, the Democrat, was supposedly beat in a surprise victory by Republican Cory Gardner. And it was just a, you know, it was a percent or two of the vote, but there are 300,842 of the state's voters subject to purge under CrossCheck. I mean, almost a third of a million voters. Do understand that in Colorado, before the 2004 election, of all things, before the 2008 election, excuse me, you had a 19% of the voter rolls of the entire state were purged by a Republican Secretary of State named Donetta Davidson. I was working, Bobby Kennedy Jr. and I were working together on an article for Rolling Stone, and we tried to get an answer from the Secretary of State in Colorado. Why are you purging one out of five voters? They refused to speak to us at all or give us any information whatsoever. The state of Virginia, where they almost got rid of Warner, of Senator Warner. That was all 8,000. That race was decided by 8,000 votes. That's the one state that actually said we purged. They proudly said that last year they purged 41,000 voters because of CrossCheck. 41,000, and the Senate race was decided by 8,000. And by the way, in Virginia, they used a very unfortunate phrase. They said the 41,000 that they purged because of CrossCheck, or the term that they use is cancel their registration. They said Well, this is only the beginning. This is just the low-hanging fruit.
And, oh, God.
For those of you who know the Billie Holiday song, it's an unfortunate
strange fruit
for getting rid of black voters.
Well, the Billie Holiday song was about lynching black people in the South. And, of course, this is about lynching black voters and preventing them from voting. So
well,
what you're saying here is that at least in two states, Greg Palast, North Carolina and Colorado, the cross-check...
pick the senator,
So if Mark Udall in Colorado and Kay Hagan in North Carolina would have been elected, were it not for cross-check?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you also have two governor's races. One is... Sam Brownback in Kansas, who everyone expected to lose his re-election because he totally lost favor with the voters, suddenly he comes back to win by a smidgen. And remember, cross-check was begun in the state of Kansas. They've been purging voters since 2005 with cross-check. And by the way, here's something interesting. The guy who's done the purging, this guy Kobach, who also won surprise re-election. This guy Kobach, he said, we've had tremendous success. We've referred 14 people in 7 years for prosecution for voting twice. Well, anyone can refer someone. That means calling the cops. No one's even been arrested. No one's been convicted. It's a crime that doesn't happen. But nevertheless, they've removed 100,000-plus people from the voter rolls in Kansas, and that's reelected Brownback and Kobach himself. This is one of the problems with our election system. If you're a vote thief, you're stealing the police department, the voting police with it. That's the problem. If you successfully steal the vote, you've stolen the cop's badge as well, so you don't get caught. It's the perfect crime, vote theft. Perfect
crime.
So
nobody's going to follow up on this. And the Democrats... has a single... Okay, so you just told us now that two Senate seats in the U.S. Senate and one governor's mansion and, of course, the Secretary of State's office in Kansas.
Massachusetts as well.
What happened in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts was a squeaker. Suddenly you have a Republican governor of Massachusetts by a squeaker. And again, Massachusetts was one of the only so-called Democratic states... which just joined cross-check. They join cross-check, they suddenly go from Democratic to Republican. And you have to understand, you're talking, you know, 250,000 people in Massachusetts subject to purge because of cross-check.
Even it with a Democratic incumbent governor, cross-check was used in Massachusetts?
Cross-check was used, and that was the end. The question is, one thing I have found is very interesting. Republicans have been very, very good at grabbing the offices such as Secretary of State, Head of Board of Elections. The Republicans have grabbed these offices even when you have a Democratic governor, as you had in Illinois, as you had in Colorado, had a Democratic governor, Democratic senator, but the voting control was in the Secretary of State's office, and that's been solid Republican. They have been very sharp at putting their energy and money into the election system.
Hold on. Who, Bob, is that your phone?
Bob, somebody opened the door.
So Greg Palast, we're going to take a short break in a minute. But Greg Palast, you're saying that even in states with Democratic governors, they've managed to put in functionaries that can... turn the election? Is that what happened in Massachusetts?
That's what happened in Massachusetts. That's what happened in Illinois. That's what happened in Colorado. That's the amazing thing. Even where you have Democratic governors, look at who controls the actual voting apparatus, Secretary of State or Head of Board of Elections. And you had that in North Carolina as well, where you had a Republican seize the Board of Elections, put in cross-check, and suddenly elections are going very funny, completely off what the polls predicted.
Unbelievable. We're talking with Greg Palast, who's done spectacular work really since 2000, a voice in the wilderness along with Bob Fitrakis on the stolen election issue. Bob and I were the only two to write really from the ground zero in 2004 about the election here. Greg, you and Bev Harris We're about the only ones out there with Bob on the Florida 2000. And we're still out there pretty much alone. And I've seen a couple of people here and there, some articles here and there about this. No one is raising any kind of issue about the theft of the United States Senate. It's mind-boggling. We're going to take a short break here for about 3 minutes. Listen to the Dana Lyons Rocky Top version of the Solartopia song. We will come back and continue this astonishing... this just stuff that just drives me absolutely crazy. And we are going to have to get to the bottom of this, including what happened in the state of Florida, where 58% of the voters wanted to approve medical marijuana, and they wound up with the most right-wing lunatic governor in the history of that state. We will be back shortly with Bob Fitrakis and Greg Palast.
New plants, oil refineries, pipelines, mega dams, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Nigeria, Venezuela, Kurdistan, oil spill, meltdown, flooding, suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam, road rage, asthma, famine, leukemia, it's time to get a better plan. Home sweet home to me, Solartopia, that's the future for me, green powered energy, windmills, hydrogen, photovoltaic cells with solar panels everywhere, solar cars, fast trains, bicycles, hydroplanes, get you home in under an hour. Gardens, tidal geothermal power, family, community, healthy children, and lots of forest for the bears. Solartopia is home sweet home to me. Solartopia, green powered energy, that's a future for me.
All right, we are back. Bob Fitrakis and Greg Palast, you both with us here?
I'm with you.
All right, Bob, if you can curb that cell phone somehow, that'd be great. We're doing good here.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to a better place.
Oh, good. I think the men's room is always a good bet. Bob, you and I co-authored a piece that's up on the internet today. It's at Common Dreams, freepress.org, solartopia.org, Smirking Chimp I saw, probably a few other places. How the GOP rigged, stole, and lynched the 2014 election. Greg Palast, what's your current piece up about all this mess?
Well, I have the piece, The Return of Jim Crow, up at Al Jazeera America.com. You can also go to GregPalast.com to go through to get those stories. And there's actually a series of two stories. I have another one out this week from Georgia and North Carolina. I've been investigating on the ground again for 6 months. I should also mention that when I went to Georgia, which has 500,000 people on its purge list for this thing called interstate cross-check, the so-called duplicate voters. I should also mention that when I went to the leader of the Democratic Party, an African-American woman named Stacey Abrams, she was really stunned because unlike other states where they are fighting this or going along with it, whatever, no Democratic official was told that the state of Georgia had embarked on purging half a million of its citizens from the voter rolls. You know, again, it's a bias towards the minority voter. And this is in a state, remember, in the state of Georgia, a group called New Georgia Agenda had collected 81,000 signatures for registration forms for new voters. Almost all minorities, Asian Americans and African Americans and Hispanics, had done a joint voter drive. So they submitted to the state 86,000 voting forms. 81,000 voting forms. By election day, 56,001 forms had not been added to the voter rolls. They literally took the voter registration, stuck them in a drawer, and said, see you later. And when they went to court, when the voters who who were not on the voter rolls went to court, the court said, well, what can we do about it? You know, just can't do it.
That's unbelievable. How many voters across the country, Greg Powest, would you estimate were disenfranchised in 2014 by cross-check?
That'd be a good question. I would say, while the list has 7 million names in total, 3.5 million so-called pairs of double voters, we, using the Virginia numbers, we would expect about 12%. You're talking just short of a million voters. And it will get worse as we head to the 2012 presidential race because they actually use kind of a slow process. If they use a quick process, probably people would notice and scream. But they're boiling the frog slowly. Now, you may say that 750,000 or a million voters is a lot, but that's nothing compared to what's coming for 2012. And I do know 16. For 2016. We do know. And like, for example, in Ohio, Professor Fetrakis there, at my request, did check out what's happening with cross-check in Ohio. Everyone's concerned with Ohio because, as John Stewart says, America votes, Ohio decides. And your Republican Secretary of State, Mr. Husted, is pushing cross-check hard, telling local, the county officials, to remove so-called duplicates within 30 days, and not knowing where these numbers are come from. They cannot possibly check if someone's voted in Ohio and Alaska in 30 days. It's absurd. And the lists are absurd. I want to tell you, I have to give you an example from the list. For example, okay, we have a, John Elmer Haynes is in North Carolina. Tom Elmer Haynes is in North Carolina. It's supposed to be the same exact voter as Tom Cross Hayes III in Virginia. Now, I actually spoke to Mr. Hayes, the second one in North Carolina, and he said he's never been Cross as a middle name. He's never been the third of anything. He's never been to Virginia, and you know, this is supposed to be the same voter, and we checked the list. We actually got our hands on 2 million of the names. We found that 1 in 4 names had a mismatched middle name. You're still on the list. In other words, if you're literally John David Smith is matched with John Hosea Smith, and if there's a mismatch of middle name, you're still on. If junior and senior used to be considered father and son, well, not according to cross-check, you're the same person pretending to be your own daddy, okay? And if your Social Security, if they have a Social Security number, and they have very few, if they mismatch, you're still on the list.
You're so they're purged. If they're on the list, both names purged, Greg Powest?
Well, here's the trick. It depends. It's up to the state. In some states, you're going to get, in some places, they don't care. They're going to take all the names. In other places, North Carolina said that they had cut their list down to 190,000 names. Well, I went to the North Carolina voting office, their elections officials, the Republican elections officials, and they had actually hired an FBI agent, a famous ex-FBI agent named Chuck Stuber, the guy that caught Senator Edwards. And so he's famous for being, you know, like the modern-day Elliot Ness. They gave him a list of 190,000 names of double voters. Remember, this is a felony crime. In 6 months, he has convicted no one of double voting. In 6 months, he hasn't arrested anyone. He hasn't even referred anyone for grand jury review, nothing, even though he has their names and addresses, social security numbers, emails, phone numbers, place of work, and where they vote. And he hasn't been able to catch one. And the reason is because there isn't one. It's not 190,000 felonious double voters. It's 190,000 people with common names, and those common names are overwhelmingly African-American, Hispanic, and Asian-American.
Now, Bob Fitrakis, we saw in Ohio the purging of voter lists before cross-check. What was their excuse for purging voter lists in Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, just before and after the 2004 election?
Well, Harvey, as you and I wrote, they actually purged an election year, which is not the directed pattern from the Secretary of State. In Ohio, we purge in odd number years, 2001, 2003. But the one in 2004 came from Republican challenges that went to the homes of black voters. 51% were black voters, but all were from three urban areas, Toledo, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. Cleveland that voted 81% for Kerry, and they purged 24.96% of every single voter, causing some heavily black precincts to vote as low as 9%, between 9 and 21% voter turnout, when there was lines everywhere else. So basically that was a challenge. That law got called into question by a court order, but in the next election cycle between 2004 and 2008, when Barack Obama was running, they actually purged more voters, many of them electronically through Triad and ES and S and the electronic poll books. They purged 1.25 million voters in Ohio. The difference
They purged 1.25 million voters from the lists in Ohio.
We have those records. The big difference was Acorn, the Free Press was the only news organization with those records, because we asked in January, and we got those after numerous threats of lawsuits and writs of mandamus. My law firm, Fitrakis Goodell Newton, managed to get every single list. We were the only ones with them. We made them available to everyone in the public. Only two people asked for them: Acorn, which is no longer around, and the Obama campaign. In fact, Donna Brazil was asked, she asked Greg Moore, she was working for the Democrats, could this be possible, they're purging a million people? And Greg Moore said, of course they are. The Free Press has the public records. So in that situation, a lot of the people that were purged were essentially re-signed up, right, to re-registered by the Democratic Party, not so much the Democrats, but the Obama campaign and by Acorn. They then, between 2008 and 2012, purged another million voters, many of them re-registered again. The problem is whether or not in 2016, whether or not there'll be an inner-city force equivalent to Obama and really a lot of his youth brigade, capable of whatever the purge is this time. From the past, it probably will be about a million Ohio voters. They'll overwhelmingly come from nine urban areas. A majority of them will be white. I mean, not white, but black. And many of them, the rest, will be poor and the elderly. So I think Ohio, unless the Democrats take it very seriously in Ohio, that the Republicans will win in 2016.
Well, so what you're saying, Bob, actually, is that back in the innocent you know, folky days of 2003, 2005, 2006, Ohio alone purged more voters than Crosscheck might have done this year. But, of course, Crosscheck, you would say, Greg Powis is gearing up for the big one in 2016.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're able to flip two Senate seats, which flips the entire United States Senate, two big state governors, you are... it's already pretty severe damage, but we're heading into what I'm very, very concerned with is the push for Crosscheck in Ohio, because it is the ultimate. It's the swing state of swing states, and so we could have Crosscheck, not the voters, pick our president. And remember,
well, I give the Democrats zero chance of carrying Ohio in 2016. It's just not going to happen.
Well, that could be then the race, because that's how it's coming down to. And you see what happened in Florida, too. Now, remember, now, Florida was going to purge so-called alien voters. 180
people from Mars and Venus.
Yeah, exactly. People with little antennas and stuff. Or supposedly people who swam across the Gulf of Mexico to vote in Florida elections. Now, of course, a number of people who don't have citizenship in the U.S., who then deliberately put down their name and address on a piece of paper, might as well write, "Please deport me." It's pretty slim. So the Republican Secretary of State and the governor, Republican governor, tried to purge 180,000 Floridians, saying that they aren't citizens. Actually, they were just people with, believe it or not, Hispanic last names. And they try to purge these 180,000 people. When challenged by the Justice Department, they ended up finding and convicting one single voter. By the way, he was an Austrian who registered as a Republican. But that's
Arnold
the only alien voter that they could find out of 180,000.
Arnold Schwarzenegger keeps trying to vote twice.
Yeah, so what's happened is also, here's the big danger. That purge of 180,000 so-called alien voters, which turned into one voter, that was stopped because of the Voting Rights Act pre-clearance provisions, that is Section 4 and 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which our Supreme Court has since invalidated. If they try it again, there's next to nothing in their way. That's the problem.
Well, and you look at Florida, I mean, this guy, speaking of aliens, I am convinced that the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, is an extraterrestrial. I mean, if you ever look at him, there's something just not human about this guy. But he was vastly unpopular, had a horrific first term. He was running against a popular former Republican ex-governor, Charlie Crist. All the polls showed Charlie Crist winning fairly easily, and suddenly on election day, and furthermore, there was a legal marijuana, a medical marijuana issue on the ballot. 58% of people in Florida voted to legalize medical marijuana, and Rick Scott, this extreme right-wing lunatic, is somehow magically reelected. Tell me how that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the problem. I mean, it's not. Again, if it were just Crosscheck, we could almost solve it. But they have, I wrote a book, "Billionaires and Ballot Banners: How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps." That was before Crosscheck. That's number 10, and there's 11, 12, and 13 coming up. Right. The problem is that these guys work on several levels at once. They're suppressing the vote in many ways at once. Even when I was in North Carolina, they'd cut early voting. African Americans, because they end up in horrible lines on election day, or they can't get off work like a lot of white folk. And if you're in a black precinct, you're waiting in line for 4 hours. It's a full day adventure to go and vote, right? So they vote on the Sunday before, traditionally. That's called Souls to the Polls Day after church. Well, they cut out the Sunday voting before elections. I know they did that in Ohio. They did that in North Carolina. And so people were jammed into Saturday. I was at one polling station. Listen to this. 10,000 people at a single polling station. 10,000. And how many thousands showed up and just said, forget it. I mean, this was a polling station that had lines literally out a half a mile. And so people just said, I can't do that. People couldn't stay in line all those hours.
Yeah, you get all these bloviating talking heads talking about how the people didn't show up to vote. And blaming the public for not voting when, in fact, they've been stripped from the registration rolls, no voting machines, no paper ballots, you know, no bathrooms at the public voting stations. It's really sick. I've spent 41 years fighting nuclear power. I got to say that this is what really puts me through the roof, this stuff. And we, Bob Fetrakis, you and I have seen it firsthand here in Ohio. What did you see in Ohio that this year that might match what happened in Florida, as Greg has reported? Bob, you still there?
He's so flabbergasted he can't even speak.
All right. So, Greg Palast, what other senatorial races in the country this year do you think were flipped by cross-check or other Jim Crow vote theft?
Hang on. I'll get my... Ask Ms. Badpenny here the list of senators.
Okay. Bob, are you still there? Bob Fetrakis? I think we lost Bob. Bob? Okay, we only have 9 minutes left or thereabouts, and I'm talking with the great Greg Palast. We're talking people on the fingers of one hand who've been dealing with election theft, election fraud.
Well, I should also mention, by the way, Alaska, the Republican was elected over the Democratic incumbent by just 8,000 votes. The cross-check list is 36,000. So that's Alaska.
Are they talking about disenfranchising Eskimos up there?
Literally. And also in Louisiana, you had a 16,000 vote margin. Cross-check list 126,000. Obviously, I mentioned Colorado already. Now, in the case of Georgia, it may not have seemed close. But the amount of voter suppression there was absolutely insane. The margin was 200,000, but the vote suppression there, the failure to put names on the list, cutting off early voting, there was just a whole panoply. And they were doing a massive purge of so-called felons. Back to the old Catherine Harris trick. That's what I uncovered in 2000. Harris calling 58,000 people, mostly black males, felons with no right to vote in Florida. And not one on the list. I'm telling you, not a single person on that list was an illegal voter. Not one. 58,000 people. 58,000 people, which was 80% registered Democrats.
The Republicans now have 53 House seats in the U.S. Senate. You're saying that North Carolina, Alaska, and
Colorado
were flipped by cross-check.
Easily. So that's one of the problems we run into. North Carolina, Colorado, Alaska, we know that. And the thing is, there's questions about other states. I would put Georgia in the question column. We don't know yet
about
it.
We had Sam Nunn's daughter running for Senate. Yeah. How many votes did she lose by?
Well, it says that she lost by 200,000, though it's 600,000 on the cross-check list. But nevertheless, the other vote suppression techniques used there were just raw and awful. So,
Are you still with us, Bob? I think Bob's gone. Okay, so tell us a bit more, Greg. We're down about 6 minutes.
Yeah, well, as I was saying before, one of the worst things was, and this is happening in many states, not just Georgia, where you have voter registration drives, but people don't realize if they sign those voter registration forms, it doesn't mean they're registered. I've always told people, register and keep registering, and make sure that you are listed. You can go online in any state and see if your name is on the list, and you are listed as an active voter. So this is one of the major problems. Georgia did a purge before one election, I remember, of 50,000. Again, they did the trick of removing so-called felon voters. Well, if they really had illegal voters voting, you should arrest them. I keep going. I said, well, would you arrest illegal voters if you caught them? Yeah. I said, well, you just removed 50,000 people for voting illegally, saying that they were felon voters. Why don't you arrest them, 50,000 people, send out the troops? How about arrest five of them? The answer is because they weren't illegal voters. They use the same common name thing. They find some guy named John Black who's convicted of a crime in Ohio, and they match him to a guy named John Black in Atlanta. And chances are, if your last name is Black, you are Black, according to the U.S. Census. That's how it works. They know exactly what they are doing in this type of sloppy business. And no one, you know, you almost get no defense of these people who are disenfranchised.
Staggering.
Now the
it's
voter
to me.
The voter ID business has also become completely crazy. Again, I spoke with Martin Luther King III a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, this is going back to my daddy and the Voting Rights Act. This is another poll tax. You know, we don't have Indiana first started with this voter ID law to prevent people from stealing someone's identity to vote. And yet when they went to the Supreme Court, they could not name a single instance in 100 years of identity vote theft. Yet they put this impediment in the way of voters. 80,000 Black people did not have the ID that they needed. And then you had Justice Scalia saying, well, whether you're Black or white, you know, when they were told it's 17 miles to the average distance to a county office to get a non-driver ID. He says, well, big deal, it's 17 miles whether you're Black or you're white. Well, he happens to have, I know that Scalia, Justice Scalia happens to have a Black BMW. I know this because he got a ticket on it. I was looking up his records. He has a Black BMW, and I can tell you that 17 miles in a Black BMW or a white BMW, he's right, whether it's a Black BMW or a white one, 17 miles is nothing. But
Greg, unfortunately, I got to cut you off. What kills me, Greg, is that none of this is in the media. Nobody's talking about this. It's been an honor to have you on. You're going to have to come back on because this just drives me crazy. The theft of our election process in the United States is virtually complete, and we got to talk about this some more. Greg Palast, it's always a pleasure. Bob Fitrakis, my longtime co-conspirator, thank you for being with us to talk about election theft. Greg, where do people find you real quick?
GregPalast.com, GregPalast.com, and we'll link you through to all the Al Jazeera and other reports.
All right, and Bob Fitrakis and I are at freepress.org and solartopia.org. Thank you to the crew in New York. This has been another great show. Greg, we'll have to get you back on. I can't stand this. It drives me crazy. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. We'll talk to you next week on another Solartopia show.
We bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world.
We needed more. The rich got rich, the poor got sore. The fuel ran scarce, the price jumped high, and so they gave nuclear power.